Thank you for listening to our story of Ruth. It's the first time I've told this story as For Godly Play. It's one that's been fairly new to me. And I have been wondering about this story. I read it some weeks ago in my own devotions, and I was really impacted by the story of Ruth. And I wondered about why it's in the Bible. I mean, it's not a sensational story, is it? Nobody split the sea. It wasn't a great prophetic word. It wasn't about battles and kings and all that stuff. Nothing really important happened in it because it was just about a foreign woman who saw something special in her mother-in-law and about a good man who was just following God's laws and looking after widows and just doing the right thing, nothing out of the ordinary, and they fell in love. So it's a lovely love story about good people who were trying to follow God. But it wasn't a big story. You get what I mean? Like a very simple story of ordinary people. So I wonder too how it got in the Bible. Because, well, I mean, there's lots of things happened in the Old Testament, back in those times of God's people. How? And so I got to thinking. I thought about Ruth and Boaz, where they were young parents with little Obed. And I guess thought, well, as little Obed got through the baby stage and was running around, I'm sure they would have told him about Naomi. Naomi would have still been there, one would assume. They would have told him about how they came together, why it was that Ruth had this strange foreign accent, and some people still probably thought she was one of those, you know, foreigners from across the river, but she was his mum. And they would have told little Obed about God's faithfulness. And then, of course, Obed grew up and he became a dad and his little boy was Jesse. And I can imagine Obed passing on that story to Jesse about his wonderful grandparents, Ruth and Boaz, and their story. It was a personal family story for that family. And then, of course, Jesse grew up and we all know that he had a bunch of sons, probably eight, and that his youngest son was David, who became the great King David. Now, I can imagine little David, the youngest, maybe a bit spoilt, very cute, very sweet, I'm sure. And I can imagine Jesse having a soft spot for David. And I suspect if Grandpa Obed was still around, he would have had a very soft spot for little David. And I can imagine little David sitting at Grandpa Obed's feet and Grandpa Obed telling him the story of Ruth and Boaz. And I wonder whether it was when David grew up and then became king, maybe he looked back on that, he looked back on his own upbringing, looked back on the fact that his great-grandmother was a foreigner and became part of the great family. And whether he then said, this is an important story of God's faithfulness to ordinary people, I'm going to write this story down, or scribe, write it down for me. He was king, he could do what he liked. And it got written down. And then, of course, it was preserved in our scriptures today. A beautiful story, but actually a family story. And I wonder, too, if the goodness and generosity and faith of Ruth and Boaz helped to actually shape David into the good and generous king that he was. Now, our stories do shape us, don't they? And especially when we are children. I was asked recently by a mum from this church if I had any tips for mums who were seeking to bring up their children into faith. And my response was, tell your children stories. Tell them stories of God's faithfulness to you. Bible stories, yes, of course, but also the personal stories of God's goodness to you. Dale and I had three sons, Bradley, Damien and Luke. They were young boys when we were serving with MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship in Arnhem Land. We always tried to have family times of what we called songs and prayers. And especially when the local church wasn't terribly inspiring or services didn't even happen, we definitely made sure we had that time of worship, our family worship. And we told our boys stories. In September 1997, we left MAF and we moved into Nhulunbuy, the mining town of East Arnhem region. And Dale was working with ARDS, Aboriginal Resource and Development Services, ARDS. Now, ARDS was actually an agency of the Uniting Church, and we knew that this was what God wanted Dale to do, and we wanted to stay in Nhulunbuy long term. But there was a fairly significant problem. We didn't have a house. It was good with MAF, because MAF had their own housing, but ARDS had no housing for staff. And in Nhulunbuy, mining housing was really tricky. If you worked for the mine, that was all good. Rio Tinto gave you a house. If you worked for the government gave you a house. If not, well, yeah, whatever. Rents were really expensive, and houses for sale were as rare as hen's teeth. Well, thanks to my brother and his wife being very generous to us and lending us a significant loan, so at least we had a deposit for a house that Westpac needed, we had that, so we were in the market for a house in early 98, but there was almost nothing available. In fact, there was two houses total available on the market for those first few months of that year. And one of them actually looked pretty good. It was a four-bedroom house, and we really hoped for four bedrooms. It wasn't in great condition, but we thought we could do it up. It was a good location, and we thought, yep, this should be it. We'd be really happy with this house. It was up for auction on the 15th of May, 1998. I haven't forgotten that day. And we were so sure this was the house. We prayed around it. We just really gave it over to God. We did everything. And we were so sure that it was the right house for us that we booked tickets with Qantas Link to go to Darwin the following Tuesday to buy furniture. You see, we didn't have any furniture, but we had some money put aside, so we thought, yep, we need furniture. We kind of knew there's a chance we wouldn't get the house, but we thought, well, we've got to have furniture anyway, so if we don't get the house, we'll just go and hopefully we'll find some stuff that will fit into some sort of house and it'll work out eventually. But obviously, it was pretty important we got this house at the auction. So anyway, 15th of May came, we went to the auction, and somebody bid a lot higher than we anticipated, and we couldn't get the house. Right, it was a bit of a, you know, kick in the guts. I did remember going over to one of my MAF friends, and she said, well, look, the only thing I can think of is maybe God wants you to have a house that's not quite so much work. Maybe. Anyway, that was Friday. We had the weekend. On Monday morning, I had a phone call. We had some good friends who had also served, were still in MAF, and were also leaving MAF, also going to join ARDS, also in the market for a house. And they had heard about two houses just going up in Nhulunbuy South, the private builder, and they'd actually arranged to go and see the houses the next day with the builder. Were we interested? Sure. So I let Dale know. We went round to have a look at where these houses were. Well, it was raining. It does rain in May in Nhulunbuy quite often. And this concrete block house, just the walls up, just didn't look like much. And we thought, yeah, okay, well, it might be good. I suppose it's a house, but no. Anyway, the next day came, the Tuesday, and we went and met with the builder. Whoa, he showed us the plans. The big front veranda, the built-ins, the beautiful kitchen, a new kitchen, the fence, everything. It was just like, wow. And we thought, maybe this is it. We went home, or I went home, Dale went back to work, and a couple of hours later, after I was praying about it more, I thought, this is it, we've got it, this is it, this is it. So I rang Dale, I said, this is it, I'm sure it's it, we've got to go for it. He said, yeah, you're right. So he rang the builder, we went round and saw the builder, it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. We said, yep, look, we want to buy this house, we've got our finance approved. And he said, okay, yep, great, 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 we made the arrangements. He actually gave us five sets of beautiful curtains. I said, oh, nobody, I've got this for a lady, she didn't want them, and here you are. We used them for the next 10 years. No. And so it all just happened. And after that, we raced home back to where we were staying. We packed the rest, threw our things in our bags, grabbed some tea, took the boys to where they were staying with friends, drove to the airport and boarded the plane for our trip to buy furniture. And I told that story so many times, mainly to people who came and visited our house and said, wow, what a lovely home. And when we got to the stage of kind of getting on the plane, one of our sons would normally butt in, usually our youngest son, actually. He was the precocious one. And he'd kind of butt in and he'd roll his eyes and say, and then Mum and Dad sat in the plane and they turned to each other and they looked at each other and they said, we've bought a house. And this story just became ingrained in our family. We still have jokes about it today. But it's a wonderful memory and it's a wonderful recollection of God's faithfulness and his incredible sense of humour, isn't it? When he shuts the door and suddenly, boom, something so much better happens, because it was a beautiful home, a way better than that other one we didn't buy. And so our boys had that story. They had many other stories that they knew, that we told and we told and we told to them when they were children. And they knew that God had guided us and blessed us and provided for us. They knew that we trusted God to continue to provide for us. And they knew, our boys knew, that following God's plans for our lives was not just a bit of a ho-hum, boring thing. It was actually a grand adventure. So how about us? Do we all have stories of what God has done in our lives? Most of us today are older ones. We've got a few younger ones here. Do we remember stories that we have been told by our parents, by our grandparents, perhaps an aunt and uncle or a family member? And are you telling others? Lana read for us most of Psalm 71 earlier. I'd just like to read a few verses of it again, verses 15 to 18, because I think it's a challenge to us. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. So perhaps you're thinking, and I'm thinking perhaps some of the younger ones here who haven't got so many runs on the board, perhaps you're thinking, there's nothing really dramatic. Yeah, I can look back and, I don't know. I'm not sure that really God's done much. No big stories. Can I just encourage you to remember Ruth and Boaz? That story wasn't dramatic either. Just a young man who chose to go with a young woman who chose to go with her mother-in-law. A man who did what was right in the eyes of the law. A young couple who fell in love. And yet that simple story, that actually is not dramatic at all, has helped to shape the faith of countless millions of Christian believers over millennia.